Welcome to the Energizing India podcast, a program that focuses on electric mobility in India, giving a voice to this industry sector. My name is Ravin Mirchandani, and on this program, we feature conversations with key protagonists and industry leaders, creating a narrative on how to facilitate faster adoption of electric mobility in India. Previously on our podcasts, we've had insightful conversations with CEOs of companies running charge point operations, as well as companies that manufacture electric scooters, rickshaws, and even electric cars. Today, we focus on mass public transport, the electric bus sector, and speak with Nishant Arya, Vice Chairman and Managing Director of JBM Auto, the flagship company of the $2.2 billion Indian conglomerate, the JBM Group, which recently, under his stewardship, entered the electric vehicle sector and is finding significant success. Nishant studied at the Bradford University and then the London School of Economics in the United Kingdom and worked with multinational corporations in both Europe and Japan before returning to lead the JBM Group's foray into the electric vehicle sector in India. Their investments now include not just manufacturing of electric buses, but also lithium batteries, charging infrastructure, and charge point operations. In effect, JBM will operate in all parts of the EV ecosystem in India. JBM has also introduced the EcoLife electric bus in both a 9 and 12 meter length variant, and these are already redefining the dynamics of public transport in many cities in India. Nishant, welcome to the program, and thank you for making time to join us from Singapore.
Pleasure to be here, Ravin.
Nishant, you became executive director of the JBM Group in 2010, in fact. What made you such an EV enthusiast so early in the piece?
So basically, you know, even when I was working abroad or studying at that time, I always used to see that how one could really focus on sustainability and how sustainability can drive scalability, which was very essential for us. And as a group, how you can create wealth by focusing on the environment and by really seeing that how technology can drive value. So since I worked in different German, British, American, French and Japanese companies, so I really had a lot of fascination for technology and how we can use technology to actually increase user friendliness, make technology very usable and very easy for any layman of any kind, how it can bring in comfort, safety, affordability, and have a right total cost of ownership. So when I looked at this segment, I really saw that at that point in time, the public transportation segment was one where there were abundant opportunities. And today people were using public transport not as a choice, but a need, because they didn't have any other mode of transportation. And that's the time we realized that we need to really raise the bar and bring in a product where people want to use that mode of transportation and really see that that makes it very easy transportation experience. So it's not a product, it's an experience which you bring about.
So how many JBM electric buses are on the road in India today?
So we see now within this year, we would be seeing more than 1,000 electric buses to be on Indian roads.
So to put that in perspective, Nishant, you know, the ecosystem is not mature yet in India like it is in China, for example. And so any form of investment in electric vehicles, whether it's in manufacturers of EV drivetrains or manufacturer of buses like you're doing, will have some sort of headwinds. In perspective, there are about 1.8 million buses right on Indian roads today. And when you compare that to 250 or 260 million scooters and about 25 million cars, it's a small number. We had Reji Kumar, who's the CEO or president of the India Smart Grid Forum, on the podcast a few months ago. And one of the things he said was that government policy can influence fast adoption of electric vehicles, and the quickest move could be electric buses. Because it's only a matter of policy from the government to say that by 2024 or 2025, everything should be electric. And it can happen. So, you know, 1,000 buses today versus a potential market of 1.8 to 2 million that could convert within this decade if government policy wanted it to. What do you think it will take for that to happen? And are you ready for it?
So as an organization, as a team and as an individual, in all three forms, we are totally committed for it. And we just don't do anything because it's good to do that. We are always having a long-term horizon. Buses is a space which would be one of the fastest to turn around in the EV segment, because EV segment is all about total cost of ownership, about asset utilization. If you'd see that in a bus, you would be actually having a bus run about 200 to 250 kilometers in a day on an average for an intra-city travel. For an intercity travel, that goes up to about 500 to 1,000 kilometers, anywhere between that, depending on the distances and the number of trips a vehicle is taking. So definitely to start with, electric buses would be most apt for intra-city travel. And as the energy density goes up, slowly in the next 2, 3, 4 years, the intercity market would also come. And clearly in India, you just mentioned, we have about 1.8 million buses, and still we are less than one bus per 1,000 people. So penetration is very low in our country. Whereas in most of the countries, and if you look at countries like Korea, where the whole country can be in a bus at the same time. So even if we don't look at that, we'd have to increase to at least 1.5 to 2 buses per 1,000, if I take it as a bare minimum. Which means minimum 100 to 200% increase from where we are today. So we are talking about new buses from 100 to 200% and replacement of buses over a period of time as well. With every electric bus, we knock off about 350,000 liters of diesel and about 1,000 tons of CO2 from the environment.
Nishant, you touched on intra-city and intercity. Intercity obviously requires a lot more mileage. Do you think that that's where the edge of the electric bus market starts to show the challenges of range, and where hydrogen fuel cell buses will likely take over? There's been a recent tender. The first 15 hydrogen FCEV buses were awarded yesterday by Indian Oil to Tata. They're the first company in India that made an FCEV. So do you see this market evolving for intercity transport, where you need much longer ranges in India? Or do you think that electric buses will continue to be the mainstay as battery prices become lower and technology allows you to extend the range at the same time?
Right. See, my personal belief is that it will not be either or. Both will coexist, because in case of electric buses, definitely the energy density is increasing. And as we are having more and more highway charging, we would have a clear availability of infrastructure where vehicles can be charged, and why buses are a very good resource for even charge point operators for setting up chargers, because they have a fixed route on which they travel and they have a charging pattern which gives them asset utilization in this case. And being bigger vehicles, the kind of energy consumption and utilization is also way higher. So definitely with the charging and the battery becoming more sophisticated, this would take up, and intercity travel would pick up. And definitely I would say even today, intercity travel, like from a city like Delhi to Chandigarh or Delhi to Jaipur, is fine. But if, and then you can charge at one point or the other post one trip being completed, but definitely you can't do to and fro in the same vehicle without charging it at one point, which does become a challenge. And that's why we are starting with intra-city in every case across the world with electric buses. On the other hand, if I look at fuel cell buses, hydrogen definitely gives that value. But logistics of hydrogen, production of hydrogen in smaller plants, how cost effective would it be? How fast the infrastructure can be developed? So the consumption and the generation of the fuel should not become a challenge in this case. Plus in EV, another big benefit which we have is that as a country, we are embarking on a 500 terawatt of renewable energy. So on the back end, and electricity is available everywhere. You don't need to create a new infrastructure for that other than the transmission and distribution.
So I want to touch on the intra-city element of the answer that you've given, Nishant. And the headwind there, or the roadblock there, is the fact that all buses that will go to such kind of transport will go through a tender. And these tenders will be municipal quite often. And there is not a lot of transparency in such kind of tenders. That must lead to a lot of complications for companies such as yourselves, who are professional, focused on growth in trying to crack this market. How do you address that market in this context?
See, for doing such things, certain very good steps were taken by the Honorable Niti Aayog in India, and they had made a model concession agreement which was shared with all the cities across the country when those cities had applied for the EOI and FAME II as well. And at that point, many cities took a large part of their tenders based on the model concession agreement, but it wasn't deployed 100% in all the cities. So that created a level playing field, that is one. Secondly, we have a very strong CMVR code, which is there for the different vehicles, right? So in this case, we had a very clear-cut guidelines what kind of electric vehicle should be. And then every city definitely would need to tweak a bit based on the demographic, geographic requirements they have and the kind of passengers they are having. At the same time, we have a third element of bus code, which is there in the bus industry. And the fourth element is UBS2, which was urban bus specifications, which were defined earlier on. And today also many cities are using this. So there are multiple references which are there in this case. And I always see bus market is like solar market was 10 years back, where there was a lot of experimenting which happened with different technologies. And then the technology which was most efficient, most competitive, actually found its own path and way forward. That's exactly what I feel would happen in case of EV, but much faster than what happened in solar in India.
So Nishant, we're based in the city of Pune, and Pune has its own electric bus program, and we see a number of them when we come to work every day, and they are the Chinese BYD buses. So there's a number of players. There's yourselves, Tata's, Leyland, there's BYD and a couple of others now. What role do you think China and its experience in electrification, which has been humongous, most of Chinese buses today are electric, and there are numerous players there. What role does China have in India's electrification of mass public transport?
No, I think what is most important is at one point is to have the right competition in the country, because I always look at the Japanese market. That why did the Japanese automotive companies do so well, whether it was Toyota, Honda, Mazda, Nissan, Suzuki, all these companies, and they had very severe and tough competition in Japan, and they went and conquered the world in many ways because they raised the bar that high. So in India, we definitely have a mix of Indian companies and international companies who are competing in India. But eventually, what is important is how are you able to give a local solution in a competitive manner? That is what would redefine the whole industry dynamics. And clearly, the companies which are able to ensure that they are not cheap, but competitive, is what would differentiate one from the other. And not to deploy technologies which are common to all the pools of and different segments of electric vehicles. So I always believe in horses for courses. That has to be extremely essential. That's a differentiating factor. And not to look at just the product, but the experience and the ecosystem. So I think these things would define the market and would take it forward. And one mistake which India made 10 years back when we embarked on the solar journey, that we did not bring in the Make in India for manufacturing. Whereas in this case, when the EV industry is at the cusp of taking off, we have ensured that we are making in India, making for India and making for the world, becoming the manufacturing hub for the world. So clearly that will be a huge differentiating factor.
You made a very good statement where the EV industry is on the cusp of taking off. I'm interested for our listeners, the EV industry is not yet at a mature stage. And so when you are manufacturing a bus, there's so many elements. There's not just the body of the bus, but there's the electric vehicle motor, the drivetrain. There's all sorts of safety devices, air conditioning, batteries. How much of this is already locally available for you to be able to buy from the ecosystem? And how much of this is still being imported?
So other than the cells which we buy, where we don't have any manufacturing in India as such at a large scale, majority of it is already localized in India now. And definitely we are seeing that now at a tier 2, tier 3 level, because semiconductor manufacturing is not huge in India, which in different forms by different tier 2, tier 3 players do get imported. I think in years to come, we are ensuring and looking forward to the semiconductors also being produced in India so that the whole supply chain can be more inclusive. But another point which is extremely important on top of this here is that how we not only look at Make in India. That is a very important point, but not the only point. Design in India is equally important. creating that technology in India is equally important. That how companies can really take that onus upon themselves and create the technology. And that is where a lot of government support is required. A lot of skill development is required. And we have been the architects of the software industry across the world, creating softwares for the world. And in this case, that's a very important part of the whole ecosystem in design.
So Nishant, coming back to public transport then and electric buses, from your perspective, I'd like to focus on a few subjects at the 40,000 feet viewpoint from a leader such as yourself who sees it across the country. First up, what do you think are the challenges of full electrification of public transport from your perspective, from what you're tracking?
See, what is most important is today, especially after COVID, all of us understand the importance of health and environment. It has become so very important for each one of us and how we are contributing to that health and environment. So first and foremost is the awareness that what the public and each one of us is contributing to the environment and what are we capable of doing. Our own bit, that drop in the ocean is very important, which builds the ocean, every single drop. So how we are using modes of transportation which are zero emission.
So Nishant, at JBM, you are going to be doing many things in the EV space besides manufacturing buses. You're going to be building infrastructure. You're likely going to be a charge point operator. And all of this is going to require significant funding. Talk to us about your funding journey and future growth strategies. Is this going to be self-funded from internal accruals of the JBM Group? Are you going to look for an IPO? Is that going to be in India, overseas? What are your thoughts on that?
We would actually be looking at a very focused approach in this case. In different businesses and different SBUs, first of all, we see that every SBU within the EV ecosystem has to be self-sustainable. That is most important for us. Otherwise, it can't be scalable in the long term. So that is the first thing which we do. Secondly, in this case, when you talk about funding, so definitely we come up with internal accruals with a combination of debt. And in different areas, we feel that as JBM has all been about collaboration, so whether we collaborate with technology players, with strategic partners, or with investors, and going forward with any kind of investment approach, whether it is IPOs or private equities or strategic partners, we are open to those. And in different businesses, we are clearly charting out the strategy for each element of the ecosystem separately, so that we are able to understand, address the market, and also ensure that the business needs are getting captured in the SBU's business model in a manner where it has all the ingredients for being self-sustainable. And only when we are addressing those risks to the largest extent, because the industry in EV sector is all about learning and change. That's what I always believe. And how the technology evolves. What was premium yesterday, today's standard, and may not be relevant in times to come. So you have to be on your toes consistently. And that is what we always try and see. That to be relevant and to be in a leadership position in the industry, you need to make things happen. And for that, wherever we need to partner with strategic partners, with investors, or raise capital of any kind, we will do that.
One of the other issues or challenges we have is the constant religious battle on charging standards. We have CHAdeMO, CCS, DC001, GBT, which is the Chinese standard. A number of the buses coming to India, even the Tata bus is, I think, on the Chinese GBT standard. I'm not sure whether your buses are on CCS or GBT, but I'm interested in your view on harmonization of the charging standard for India. First, do we need to harmonize? Does it really matter? And if we do, then should we be harmonizing to what the world uses increasingly, which is the CCS standard? Even Tesla is now going to be compatible with the CCS standard. What are your views on charging standards?
See, I have two set of views here. Firstly, I feel that any OEM, when they are, or any company, when they are looking at the whole ecosystem, if you actually set barriers in different areas, then the whole architecture gets compromised at times, because the battery integration, the charger, the kind of vehicle performance, the regenerative energy which comes in the vehicle, the kind of energy efficiency in the whole system and the way you are connected to software for delivering your vehicles, I think that is very, very important. So I would go with the solar energy industry approach. Let the industry and the competitiveness take its due course on its own in the next 2 to 3 years, and then go for any standards. Like you see, till date, in solar industry, there are no standards. The industry itself has moved on to a single path, and on that, there have been further technological developments. Personally speaking, I embrace and see that in today's day and age, for the public transportation area, CCS2 is definitely the way forward, which ensures very high global standards, high safety, and clearly has the bandwidth of creating multimodal charging ecosystem as well in times to come, which can be augmented with time, which does not need to be set up in every single case to ensure asset utilization, and at the same time to ensure successful and scalable business models. Because only when you would have scalable and successful business models would companies want to set up more charging stations, which is the fact of the matter, which can't be ignored in any case. So that is something which is very crucial, which will redefine the market in India and the way forward.
It's a very insightful answer, because you're absolutely right. If you have a standard that multiple vehicles and platforms are able to use, then the cost of that infrastructure investment drops because it's being used over and over again by different platforms. Do I take it then that the JBM buses are built to the CCS2 charging standard?
Yes, as of today, yes.
Excellent. A couple of fun, frivolous questions, Nishant, if you will. From your perspective, I'm interested, which is the fastest adopting state for EVs in India? Which is the most electric state for mobility in India from your perspective?
As of today, 4 states or 5 states are most forthcoming. So Gujarat, Delhi, Maharashtra, Karnataka. These states have been few of the states which have been most forthcoming in their EV deployment. And I would like to applaud the initiatives taken by them and the central government jointly for ensuring this happens. And definitely, I see that a few other states are looking at this very prospectively in the future, whether we see Tamil Nadu, we see Telangana, Andhra in the south, or states like Rajasthan or Madhya Pradesh or UP and the NCR region. Haryana is a state to look forward, and some of the new policies like in Haryana and other states have been really forward looking, and Gujarat, which have been fantastic. So I think everybody is in an evolution mode currently. Somebody got there before, but everyone is fast catching up.
So it's moving so rapidly. It's interesting. This question would have had a different answer just 12 months ago. We ask another frivolous question to everybody who comes on the podcast, and we do so because it's a very pointed question and gives a very pointed answer, even though it's very lighthearted. And the question is, Nishant, if you had the opportunity to be the Prime Minister of India for just one day and could make any decision at all for the e-mobility sector, what would that one decision be?
So I would look forward to creating a policy framework which captures technology agnostic approach at on one hand, and secondly, enabling companies to develop technology in India and look at manufacturing them with the software. And as I mentioned, the other 6 parameters, integrated skill development program, and focus on the power and the infrastructure development and awareness amongst the people and the responsibility which we hold. And at the same time, I think in certain cases, the EV adoption can be clearly mandated as well in certain segments, like for home delivery vehicles, for other areas where utilization is higher. And clearly, the total cost of ownership should be demonstrated. People should not be averse to adapting new technology, saying that, okay, we must be amongst the ones in the end, so that any challenges coming up in the beginning, we would avoid them. Going step by step is very important, but having the next 10 years roadmap, I think, is a great opportunity. And since in EV, we start with a level playing field, so we have a huge opportunity as a country, since we have the demographic and geographic dividend in this case, and integrating the renewable energy program with this and bringing in the right set of financial resources for the cost of capital and capital cost is what would redefine the industry, and enabling and supporting companies to see that they fail fast, fail cheap if they do so in any area, and build scale not only for local requirements but be the global giants in the EV space. And rather, I would not call it the EV space, the zero emission technology space. And in the zero emission technology space, I would say the EV is the most promising technology today.
Excellent. We've learned so much about not only your aspirations for the industry, but also the direction the industry is likely going to be heading in. And that personally fills me with a lot of hope. It would be wonderful to see a majority of Indian public transit, particularly intra-city transit, converting to electric. Imagine the sort of blue skies that we will have over so many Indian cities just by the middle of this decade with the reduction in emissions that will come as a result of that. Nishant, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for having made time for us from your busy schedule. And we look forward to having your opinion on future episodes as well.
Sure, pleasure. Thanks, Robin.
I'm your host for this episode, Ravin Mirchandani. But I would not be here without the amazing Energizing India podcast team. Onkar, our podcast director and the man who makes it all happen in the end, much like a big fat grand Indian wedding, bringing together the research, data and attention to details, all in the timelines to get the next episode out on time. Srivikram, our podcast co-host and head of research, and Sunil, who along with me is executive producer of our program. The Energizing India podcast is an Ador Digitron production, giving a voice to the EV industry in India. If you enjoyed listening to us today, make sure to follow us on whatever platform you are listening on, whether it's Spotify, Apple iTunes, or our own portal, energizingindia.tv. Thank you very much, and see you on the next episode.